Our call to worship this morning are these words from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Let's go to our God in prayer. Almighty Sovereign God, we thank you that amidst this time of a worldwide crisis, that we can still honor the Lord's Day by gathering together as a congregation for worship, albeit under different and difficult circumstances. We join together in heart and to worship you in spirit and in truth. May your name be praised and glorified. Lord, we hold before you those in authority over us, Almighty God, whose kingdom alone is everlasting and whose power alone is infinite. Have mercy upon our nation and the nations of the world impacted by this virus. Grant to political leaders and to all others in authority wisdom, righteousness, and strength to know and to do your will. So rule their hearts that they, knowing whose servants they are, may above all things seek your honor and glory. Enable us to know whose authority they bear, and therefore faithfully and obediently honor them according to your blessed word and ordinance. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever, one God, world without end. Amen. Let's stand. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Receive now God's greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's join together in song by turning now to number 301. 301, the four stanzas. Let's listen now carefully to God's will for our daily lives, where God speaks to us with these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And Jesus summarized the law with these words, saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and a second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. For our assurance of pardon this morning, the beautiful words found in Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the sea, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Let's respond now in song by turning to number 369. 369, we'll sing all the stanzas. go to our God in prayer. Almighty, eternal God, kindle in us what is most basic to prayer, a childlike awe and trust. As you did not withhold even your own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with Christ also freely give us all things necessary for body and soul, in life and in death? Help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works, and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, truth, and mercy. Help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name is honored and praised. Rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. We ask for your continued blessing upon our congregation. We're thankful that Grace Strike's test went well and pray that you will bless the work of the doctors to come to a right diagnosis. We thank you for preserving Simon Lungerap's life and pray for strength and healing. Continue to uphold Harmina Skolman as she waits for surgery, which has been postponed. We pray for your blessing upon George Jantz, that you will grant to him a calm and quiet spirit as he continues to put his faith and trust in you. We pray that you will also keep Kathy Hanemeyer safe from the virus as she continues to go to the hospital for her chemo treatments. We pray, be with Peter and Henny Strike as their brother suffered two heart attacks and now be in need of long-term care. We're thankful for the renovations that are taking place, giving us a place to worship and carry out the activities of the church. We're thankful for all the members who willingly use their gifts for the service and enrichment of the other members and to the glory of your name. We thank you for our elders and deacons and their work of ministry among us. We ask that you will also guide us by your Holy Spirit in the process of electing new office bearers. Will you bless our marriages, that they may mirror the marriage of Christ and his bride, the church? Will you bless our children and youth, that they may truly believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and walk humbly in his ways? Will you bless our relationships with one another, that we, as much as depends on us, may live peaceably with one another? And where there is brokenness, whether in our marriages, with our children, or within the church, will you bring about healing and reconciliation? Give to us a Christ-like spirit of humility. We're thankful for our Christian schools, and especially Heritage Christian School, where our children and youth may receive a thoroughly Christian education. Bless the principal, Brian Kemper, all the teachers and staff. We give you thanks for all the volunteers who serve on boards and committees, who give of their gifts and valuable time. Will you bless our places of work? The coronavirus has placed a great deal of stress and economic hardship on both employers and employees. Help us to navigate our way through as we put our faith and trust in you during these difficult and trying times. We ask for your blessing upon the work of the farmers as they plan for another season. They do so in faith, trusting in you to provide the necessary rain and sunshine and yields. May our cattle and livestock remain healthy by which to feed the nations of the world. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do this until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all. Help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any back talk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor gifts can do us any good without your blessing. May we put our trust in you alone. Because of Christ's blood, do not impart to us poor sinners that we are any of the transgressions we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace within us, wholeheartedly to forgive our neighbors. We are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment, and our sworn enemy, the devil, the world, and our own flesh never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. We bring these petitions before you because, as our all-powerful King, you are both willing and able to give us all that is good, and because your holy name, and not we ourselves, should receive all the praise, now and forevermore. Amen. Let's again go to our God in song, now turning to number 115, the three stanzas of 115, and let's stand to sing. Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, we'll begin reading at verse 7, reading through to verse 11, which is also our text. If you recall, our prayer day service that was scheduled for this past Wednesday was postponed for this morning. And so this in some ways is also our prayer day service, which also ties in very nicely with the situation at hand in the world around us. Matthew 7, 7 to 11, God's word reads as follows. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his sons ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So far the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, In Matthew 5 to 7, commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches his covenant people then and us today all about true discipleship, what it means to live as faithful citizens in the kingdom of God. The lesson plan begins with the Beatitudes. Jesus prescribes for us here the way of true blessedness. Jesus goes on to teach us the way of living that is so contrary to the ways of the world and to the thinking of the world. Jesus teaches the way of righteousness that far exceeds that of the righteousness prescribed by the self-righteous Pharisees. And these teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount would further escalate that tension between Jesus and the Pharisees, which in God's wonderful plan of redemptive history would bring that to a clash that would lead to the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. But how are these blessings that are taught here in the Sermon on the Mount to be obtained? We say, yes, of course, it's only by the grace of God. Yes, of course, it's only through the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. But there's more. What's the more? The more is prayer. Here in chapter 7, as we near the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus touches on the importance of prayer. Not so much on how to pray and what to pray for, as Jesus has already taught that earlier in the Lord's Prayer, but rather he exhorts us here to pray. The necessity of prayer. And so let's take a closer look at this portion of the Sermon on the Mount under the theme, Jesus instructs us to pray, noting that we are to pray persistently, and secondly, to pray believingly. In chapters 5 to 6, Jesus' sermon teaches us a valuable lesson on what it means to be a disciple of Christ, what it means to live as a citizen of his kingdom. And we ask again, how is it possible? We can't do that on our own strength. Therefore, we must turn to the Lord in prayer. Living the Christian life to which you and I have been called is possible. How? Only by God's grace and through the work of the Holy Spirit, for which we must pray. Lord's Day 45, question and answer 116, asks the question, why do Christians need to pray? And we confess, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And then it goes on. And also, because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. Prayer, the fruit of faith, is absolutely essential to the Christian life. Our confession is abundantly clear. Prayer is not about a wish list, but the chief part of our thankfulness to God. And also, God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray. How? Continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. Prayer, the fruit of faith, is essential. Our confession is clear. And this is precisely what Jesus instructs us here in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. The English translation, ask, seek, knock, indicates to us, congregation, that this is a command. In other words, this isn't merely Jesus giving us some advice for our careful consideration. This is not an option for us as Christians. No, it's an imperative. Do this. Do what? Ask. Seek. Knock. We might put an exclamation mark behind each of these commands. But what's not so clear, however, from our English translation, from the original Greek, is that it's a present imperative. It's quite very simply, it means it's a command not just to do something once, but to go on doing it indefinitely, to do it continuously. And so what we have here in verse 7 is really a command by Jesus to be constant in prayer. Jesus is commanding us, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Prayer is to be for us a continuous activity in our lives. Christians are commanded by Christ to pray persistently. And notice the increase in intensity from simply asking to more active seeking to the aggressive act of the urgency of knocking. All these are really saying the same thing, but that emphasizes again that persistence, that repeated action, that continuous prayer. Citizenship in the kingdom of God as Christians, as a way of faith and life, requires that we persist in prayer. The Apostle Paul picks up on this in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 when he issues the command, pray. And what follows? Pray without ceasing. Now, to pray without ceasing doesn't mean, of course, that we are to spend all our 24/7 in prayer. But rather, the point here is very obvious. Prayer is to be for the Christian a way of life. We are to persist in prayer. Prayer is not simply some sporadic thing that we do every now and then. Well, when I have time, I'll make some time for the Lord. Prayer is not something that we do merely during a time of an emergency or a time of a health crisis such as we're experiencing now. Prayer is not something that we do just when we're desperate for help. Prayer is much more than simply just rattling off in vain repetition the Lord's Prayer at meals. Prayer, congregation, is our lifeline to the throne room of our Heavenly Father. Prayer is as necessary, as essential for our spiritual life as breathing is to our physical life. And now, too, with COVID-19, Christians need not to live in fear, but by faith. How? We take it to the Lord in prayer. Sadly, it often takes a crisis such as that we're experiencing now, to realize this, to bring us to our knees. But the question is, when this crisis is again over, what then? Will we continue to persist in prayer? Do we pray? Do we pray continually for God's grace and Holy Spirit? Normally speaking, before COVID-19 crisis, how would you gauge your prayer life? For some, the answer is, yeah, could be better. Then we have to ask ourselves, before this crisis, what made us think that we didn't need to pray? Or at least pray persistently. Did we somehow think that we could manage just fine without God and in the good times, and that we really don't need His help, His guidance, to pray in adoration, to pray in thanksgiving, to pray with supplication? Yes, but I'm so busy. Yes, but I don't always remember. Yes, but nothing. How many times in the course of a day do you check your cell phone? According to a recent 2019 study, the answer is alarming. 96 times a day. That's once every 10 minutes during our waking hours. When we get up in the morning, what's one of the first things we do? We check our phones. How much time do we spend on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat? How much time do we spend watching TV? How much time do we spend in leisure and entertainment? Visiting with family and friends, although all those things are limited now, of course. But the question still is before us, do we pray? Yes, but what? Pray without ceasing, in adoration to our God, who is our refuge, our strength, our rock, our defense, our salvation. Those words alone just speak of comfort, don't they? God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Prayer and thanksgiving to God for the comfort and peace that is ours in Christ Jesus our Savior. Pray that each day may be lived to the glory and honor of God in absolutely everything we say, do, and think. Pray that the priorities of our prayer may follow the pattern of what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What should we want more than anything else in this world? And we say, a solution to the crisis. No. Isn't it our prayer and our desire in this crisis all the more so to pray, hallowed be thy name. May thy name be revered through all of this. May we realize thy kingdom come, that thy will may be done throughout the world during this time of crisis, that we would realize our vulnerability, that we might realize that all the material things, all the material possessions, all the things that we thought were so important mean nothing except for our relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And that we may recognize that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will. What do we want? We want a solution. We want this to be over. We want this to be fixed. And now to pray, thy will be done. Also through this, that all the world is brought to their knees and to acknowledge a sovereign God. We pray that each situation, every circumstance in our life is to be lived by faith. We recognize that all the more so today, don't we? Pray without ceasing for God's grace and the Spirit. Pray without ceasing, that we may be conformed more and more after the image of Christ, and to possess those Christ-like qualities that are spoken of in the Beatitudes: poor in spirit, mourn for sin, meekness, hunger and thirst for righteousness, being merciful, pure in heart, being peacemakers, that we would endure persecution. He says, blessed are those. Are we among those? Do we pray to be among those? Does the blessedness elude us because we don't pray for it? Pray for the very things that Jesus teaches us here in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Do we pray? Do we pray without ceasing that we would never lose our saltiness, or that we would hide our light under a bushel? Pray without ceasing that we would keep God's law, not as a mere duty, but out of gratitude for God's wonderful gift of salvation. Pray, as Jesus teaches us in the Beatitudes, to live peaceably with all men, to pray without ceasing to root out the sin that lives within our hearts, to pray without ceasing for the sanctity of marriage, to pray that we may be faithful in keeping our vows, that we may love our enemies. Pray without ceasing that we would not worry, but trust in the Lord, who promises to provide the necessities of life. And we're all asking ourselves, but what about my health? What about COVID-19? What about if there is a recession? What about my retirement investments that took a major hit in this past 2 weeks? Do we pray about these things? Do we give them over to God in prayer? Prayer is for us as Christians the antidote to fear and worry. Congregation, through all of this, we have a wonderful opportunity in these times particularly to speak of the hope and the comfort and the peace that we have as Christians through these times. We sense the panic. We sense the frustration in the world, the fear. But as Christians, what do? We live by faith. We take those concerns to the Lord in prayer. And through prayer, God grants to us that peace, that sense of a calm and a quiet spirit during the storms of life. Why? Because we've taken it to the Lord in prayer. Do we pray in a manner that acknowledges the sovereignty of God and His providence in every sphere of life, as it affects every single person across this entire universe, especially with COVID-19. We confess, He upholds, as with His hand, heaven and earth and all creatures without exception, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. Yes, health and sickness, leaf and blade, rain and drought. Who upholds this universe? Who governs this universe? Whose will is being accomplished through all of this? It's our sovereign God, who in His providence is teaching us, is guiding us again, and reminding us He upholds, as with His hand, heaven and earth, and all creatures, including us, especially us, His covenant children. What does this mean for us? Our confession says, we can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future we can have a good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing, nothing will separate us or separate us from His love. All creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will they can neither move nor be moved. Praying to a sovereign God who is our Father brings to us as Christians such peace, calmness, and quiet. Yes, we are in His hands. Whose hands? The hands of a sovereign God who rules all things in heaven and on earth. In the springtime, the farmers hope again to be in the fields, preparing the soil, planting, and then they wait. They wait upon the Lord for the timely rain and the sunshine. They wait upon the Lord to provide the increase. The input cost, it's huge. With no guarantee of crops, with no guarantee of a profit. Will it be a wet spring? Will it be a dry summer? Will the crops be off before it snows? What impact will this coronavirus have on global markets and commodity prices? Is it even worth it? Today, more than ever, with this COVID-19, there are so many unknown variables, not only in farming, but in every trade, in every business, in every household, and in every aspect of our lives. But now, let me ask you again, are we praying and praying without ceasing? The coronavirus has put a whole new meaning to the petition, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We're so used to going to the grocery store. We're so used to just opening the fridge, the pantry, our freezers, and we always expected it to be there. And now, life has changed. Give us this day our daily bread has a total new meaning today, doesn't it? But does it take something like the coronavirus, to instill in us that faith and that trust in God alone? Does it take a coronavirus to teach us how vulnerable we really are, how powerless we are? And that our only hope and that our only comfort is in our sovereign God? Does it take a coronavirus to teach us again to pray? Does it take a coronavirus for the world to reassess its priorities? Are reminded through this, pointing us to the promise of the Lord's return, when all of this will be no more in the new heavens and the new earth? Are these again signs of the times, reminding us, calling us to repentance, to believe in Jesus, to realize the importance again of the Great Commission of making disciples of all nations? Jesus instructs us to pray. And not only are we to pray, but we are to pray without ceasing. To be persistent, continual, constant in prayer. We are to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Faith and living the Christian life of faith needs prayer. In good times, yes. and in the tough times. Secondly, we're to pray expectantly. Listen to what we'll read in verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What a wonderful promise is given to us as children of the Father. God hears and answers the prayers of his beloved children. When we pray for the things of God, when we pray for the things that God promises us in his word, we are assured everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. How do we pray? We pray expectantly, don't we? We pray in joyful anticipation with a believing heart that God is great and that God is good. To pray without ceasing is meaningless unless accompanied by faith. A faith that is rooted in the very character, the very nature of God himself, that's rooted in the promises of his word. And what is his promise here on the Sermon on the Mount? Everyone who asks receives, he who knocks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. We ought not to understand from this congregation, of course, that the promise is to that God that gives us carte blanche to ask, seek, and knock for just everything. That's not what's meant. God doesn't promise health and wealth, does he? Result of man's fall into sin, we all experience trials, rain and drought, health and sickness. God doesn't promise easy times or a comfortable living. Furthermore, we're taught to pray, "Thy will be done." We pray in humble submission to the will of God. In 1 John 5:14, we read, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." What's the operative word? Asking according to my will? No. His will. Asking, knocking, seeking. So too, we pray without ceasing with a right motive. If our prayers are for selfish gain, pride, mean spirit, those prayers will fall upon deaf ears. James 4 verse 3 reminds us, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." One author put it this way, "God does not obligate himself to answer selfish, carnal requests from his children." Praying in true faith means to put our trust in him alone, not doubting that when we ask in his name, according to his will, he will hear and answer prayer. To pray is to pray believingly. It is to pray expectantly. Prayer is waiting upon the Lord in faith. In James 1, 6 to 7, we read, "Let him ask in faith, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not a man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." When we pray, do you pray expectantly? Do you pray believingly? Verses 9 to 11, Jesus gives an illustration from everyday life, family relationships. There we read, "Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" What's the answer? No man, no earthly father would be so cruel, so mean-spirited, so evil, so wicked as to deceive his son by giving him a stone instead of bread, or rendering him, in this case, spiritually unclean by giving him a serpent instead of a fish. A caring, a loving father would naturally seek the physical and the spiritual well-being of his children. And so it is for us. We ask in faith. Why? Because we know our Father. We know his character. We know his word. We know his promises. We know, congregation, just how great and how much the Father loves us. He didn't withhold even his own son. Romans 8:32 is so beautiful. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. He provided for our salvation and freely gives us the necessities of life. He sent his son to pay the penalty for our sin. He sent his son to bear the wrath of God against your and my sin. He sent his son to suffer and die on a cross by the shedding of his precious blood that our sins are washed away. He sent his son that by his righteousness we may be accounted as righteous before the judge. Yes, he sent his son for our salvation. And now it is to this Father, to this same loving Father who invites us, who commands us to pray, and to pray expectantly, believingly. Jesus instructs us, ask, seek, knock. How do we come? Not as strangers, not as foreigners, but as his beloved children. He sent his son. Will he then not with him also freely then give us all things? But beloved of the Lord, do we know this Father to whom we pray? Think again of his attributes. Omnipotent, all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing. Omnipresent, everywhere present. Immutable, unchangeable. Infinite, not bound by time or space. Eternal, without beginning or end. When you consider those attributes of God, and now you bow your head in prayer, who am I praying to? Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable, infinite, eternal God. How do we pray? We pray expectantly. Beloved of the Lord, do we really know this Father? Think of his attributes, his faithfulness, his goodness, his wisdom, his mercy, his holiness, his love. And now when we bow our heads in prayer, our Father, what Father? Ever faithful Father, a Father who's good, a Father who's perfectly wise, who's merciful, who's holy, whose love is abounding. That's how we come to him in prayer. And through that we come expectantly, don't we? We come believingly. Yes, indeed. Normally speaking, if early fathers exhibit good gifts and these characteristics in part, although be imperfectly, how much more should we not go to our Heavenly Father and to ask, to seek, and to knock? Always, always remember, when we bow our heads, who are we praying to? Only then can we come expectantly and believingly. We're coming to our Heavenly Father. We are children of the Father. How? Through the Son. And we come to our Father. How? In Jesus' name. Jesus, by His life and His death, has obtained for us access to the Father. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus instructs us to pray, not only on prayer day, not only during a time of crisis, but to pray without ceasing. And let us go to our Heavenly Father and pray. How? Persistently. Asking, seeking, knocking. Let us go to our Heavenly Father and pray expectantly. For He promises us, everyone who asks receives. He who knocks finds, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be opened. Amen. Let's go to our God in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You. We thank You for this most beautiful Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached to His disciples and to us today. He lays before us the importance of prayer. We are commanded to pray without ceasing. And Heavenly Father, we realize during this time of crisis, You've brought this world and every Christian to their knees. And for Christians, the antidote to fear is faith, is prayer. And so we continue to pray. Pray that through all of this, Your name is glorified through all the earth. That Your kingdom will come and that Your will be done and that every person on this face of the earth will come to acknowledge that. Heavenly Father, we've been humbled in a big way. You are forcing us all through this, that the solution is not in some magic pill, but to look heavenward. And Heavenly Father, we pray for all those that have been affected, those who are sick, for the families who have experienced death in their families, in their communities. Lord, the ramifications are far-reaching. The economic fallout we can't even begin to estimate. But one thing it has taught us all, You are sovereign. Health and sickness, You uphold, as with Your hand, heaven and earth and all things in them. And so we continue as Christians to look heavenward. We take it to You in prayer. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that You will give to us a calm and a quieted spirit, knowing that we're in Your hands. And that You will guide this crisis and use this crisis also to the good and perfect plan that You have intended it to be. And in that, we find our rest and peace in You. Heavenly Father, thank You for hearing us, and that You will answer us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's respond in song by turning now to number 436. 436, all the stanzas. Let's stand to sing. This time we would normally take our offerings. However, we would encourage the members of our congregation also to follow the instructions that have been given to them via the deacons. It's also important to remember that even though we're not physically able, that the giving of our gifts is still an active part of our worship. And that way we would also encourage our congregation to remain faithful in the giving of our gifts unto the Lord in thankfulness to Him for all the many blessings that we do continue to enjoy. For a closing song, let's stand to sing now from number 408, the three stanzas of Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let's lift our hearts to God and receive His parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.